How are we doing today, church? Are we awake in this place? Wasn't that a powerful story? Just the power that it is to sit with someone, to be with someone, tease up our time together today so perfectly, talking about the kindness project. Everybody say kindness on the count of three. One, two, three.
Kindness.
Look at the person next to you and tell them, you're so kind. Tell them. For all of you joining us online, if somebody's watching with you right now in your living room, kitchen, maybe you're still in your pajamas in the bedroom, let them know they're kind. Or put it in the chat room, be like, oh, you're all so kind. And special shout out today. If you're new here, you may not know, my name's Corey. I'm one of the pastors with our Water's Edge Network. Water's Edge is a family of churches that this church started, and I'm so grateful for it. Give yourselves a hand. That's awesome. Oh. I know. We clap because it's like, that's cool, but what does he mean? Like, literally, people are meeting Jesus all over the world. Indonesia, Cambodia, Ukraine, Jamaica, all over the U.S. because of this church and this church's generosity. And as the pastor of Zeal Jamaica, I first and foremost want to say thank you, Central, because today, Zeal's tuning in live with us. We are joining and linking up, like Nate said, and I'm just excited. Like, I preached here before, but I've never preached with our Jamaican family right on the other side of the camera at the exact same time. So if I'm a little extra amped, it's partially Pastor Travis's fault because I asked for a black coffee and he got me like a jug of it from Starbucks, and Lord knows I don't need that. But second, it's because I feel the zeal from Zeal Jamaica. So on the count of three, just because they're joining us, let's all say zeal like we got some zeal. Zeal means passionate enthusiasm, in case you didn't know that. Ready? One, two, three.
Zeal.
Yeah, zeal, we love you. Thank you, guys. But we're gonna jump right in. If you have your Bible, we're gonna be in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're gonna be looking at one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. Like, literally, organizations are named after this passage. You hear this colloquialism said often in English, but it really is a great text to kind of frame up our topic for today. And it's a sermon title that your pastor, Pastor Craig Reese, actually gave me. Usually when I come and preach, Pastor Craig's like, hey man, whatever God lays on your heart. This time he was like, we're in a series called The Kindness Project, and I want your sermon to be titled, Kindness is a Superpower. And I was like, all right, get her done. Here we go. You know, like, but I actually like it. It was kind of a challenge for me. And not long after kind of praying about that, mulling over that topic, God put this passage on my heart, thinking about kindness as a superpower. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. If you're ready, say yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Online, if you're ready, type yeah in the chat room. One, two, three. All right, cool. I heard it. Here we go. Verse 25, it reads, and behold, a lawyer stood up to test him, or stood up to put him to the test. Do you have anybody in your life that tests you? Right? Some of us are sitting next to them. No. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Quick context right there. Obviously, the Bible was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And here, eternal life, I want us to think about that for just a second. When we hear eternal life, we think life after death, life in eternity. That phrase didn't just mean life after death. It actually means, how do I access an eternal life today? How do I live in such a way that what I do here echoes through eternity right now and forever? It's like what Jesus prays in the Lord's Prayer. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let us live now the way in which we will live for eternity. Let us have eternal life there and here. Does that make sense? So he's not just asking, hey, how do I get my ticket to heaven? He's asking, how do I tap in to a greater, deeper, more meaningful and fulfilling life? Y'all got me? You, one. Okay, cool. Responsive. Here we go. All right. Some of you are like, I don't talk in a mask well, and I understand that. It's tough. It's muffled. So here we go. He said to him, this is Jesus' response. What is written in the law? How do you read it? I love that. Jesus is clever. A lawyer stood up, and he's like, so what's in the law, lawyer? Verse 27, he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, ding, 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 you won the car. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself. We don't do that, do we? We don't look for justifications anymore, right? Like, we're way too spiritual for that, right, Zeal? No justification. Like, another way to say this is looking for a loophole, right? Looking for, now, growing up, I'll just, confession. Bible says, confess your sins one to another so you may be healed. So I'm going to confess to the entire two churches watching, if not more right now. Growing up, I tended to be like the king of the loophole. But I didn't like to call it that. I like to say I looked for efficiencies other people didn't see. And I mean, all throughout my life, loophole, 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 I would always look for like ways, kind of shortcuts, you know, and stuff. By the grace of God, he has, you know, broken me free from that. But I remember, like, starting as a young child, like, I was, like, 7 years old. My brother was 5 years old. I have a little brother named Sean, Corey and Sean, Boy Meets World reference. And true story, though. My older sister's actually named Topanga. That's a lie. Her name's Brandy. But Corey and Sean, that is me and my sibling. And I remember I'm, like, 7, he's 5, and he wants to play with me. And I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, and my little brother Sean runs up behind me, and he starts going, "You want to play? You want to play? You want to play? You want to play?" Like on the back of my head, on either side. Anybody have a younger sibling? You understand this. It makes no sense, but they do stuff like this. And I said, "No, I'm watching TV." And then he just started doing this on either side of my head. Again, anybody have somebody that tests them? And so I'm like getting frustrated. I know this is a sermon on kindness, but this was a weak moment for me. I stand up and I go behind the couch and I think of a loophole. In my home, I cannot hit my brother. I will be severely punished. And so I thought, well, I can't hit him, and he's still doing this. And so I have an idea. I'm like, I can't hit him, but what if? And I ball up my fist, and I wait for him to go left. And then I put my hand right next, and he went, like, right into my fist. And then he goes, ah, and he runs to mom. Corey punched me. Corey punched me in the face. My mom, "Corey Donovan, did you punch your brother?" "No, ma'am." His face ran into my fist. And then her hand ran into my behind, and I ran into my room, because we from the South and we do corporal punishment. But suffice it to say, the loophole is a lie. Like, looking for the lies of the loophole will always lead to our demise. And spiritually, we do this all the time, right? Like, I mean, when it comes to like our sexual purity, teens, 20s, even adults, like, what do you, I remember that season, like middle school, high school, college, you're always like, how far is too far? Like, is that really sin? Did Jesus really mean that? And we kind of like look for the loophole, right? I got quiet. Some of you are like, you're 4 minutes in, bro, and you're talking about sexual purity. Lighten up, right? No. No, and then how about this one? I mentioned this one in the first service. It was a real crowd pleaser. Like, generosity, tithing, right? Like, we always look for the loophole when it comes to our money. We're always like, well, tithing was in the Old Testament, but it's not really a new, like us theological astute, we're like, it's not really a new covenant thing, is it? It's like, I can't find it in the New Testament. Check out Matthew 22. Jesus literally says you should tithe. But then we're like, oh, but that was before the cross. Now, after he rose from the grave, that's really the new covenant. And then after that, Jesus models for the disciples, you know, in the book of Acts, they all come and sell their fields and lay everything at the foot of the church for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom. It's one of the reasons why I love this church, because you guys are so generous so that we can have churches in Indonesia, Cambodia, Ukraine, Jamaica, and so many places to come. But my point is, we're always looking for those loopholes. So don't be too harsh on the lawyer here, because the lawyer really represents a lot of us. He says, but Jesus, who's my neighbor? Like, you're not asking me to really love everybody, are you? Like, everybody? Like, even like, not my neighbor, but my next door neighbor that never pays attention to the HOA and their stuff's always growing up or like yells at me, like whatever. You're not asking me. Anyways, Jesus responds to him. He says, and who is my neighbor? And I love this. Verse 30. He tells a story, a parable. This is not a true story. This is a made up story. Jesus would often answer questions with parables, and parables are always told to convey mainly one biblical principle. And so here he's trying to tell us and answer the lawyer's questions. And he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Pause. We read that and we're like, cool. The audience listening to Jesus, as soon as Jesus read that, a man, singular, one person, going on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem to Jericho was like a switchback road, a lot of curves and turns. You can still walk it today. It was a very dangerous road. Robbers, thugs, thieves, rapists would be along this road and they would take advantage of people if they were alone. So as soon as Jesus starts this story to his Jewish audience and says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, I guarantee you some of the dudes in the audience were like, he about to get mugged, right? They just knew you don't go down that road by yourself. And it says, a man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And those same guys were like,
told ya.
Right. We know this story. Side note, they're half dead. It would be like the Hebrew way of saying knocked unconscious. Basically, he looked dead, maybe barely still breathing, covered in blood, naked. Like, we get this. And this was something they had seen if they had walked on that road. This wasn't new. Verse 31, now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him where he was, and when he saw him, Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Verse 32, so likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a Samaritan. Everybody say Samaritan on the count of three. One, two, three.
Samaritan.
As soon as Jesus said that word, silence. Jews, his audience, hated Samaritans. There was a saying amongst the Jewish people, Samaritans are less than dogs. That's what they said about him. There was extreme animosity, extreme racism between the Jewish people and the Samaritans. The Jews looked down on Samaritans. And here Jesus says the priest didn't help him. The Levite didn't help him. And then that person that you hate came along. He said, the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. And then Jesus poses the question, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. You catch that? He couldn't even say Samaritan. He couldn't even say the word. That's how much they hated him. And then Jesus had the audacity to say, you go and do likewise. In other words, go and be like the superhero Samaritan. There is a hero in this story, and the hero is the Samaritan, and the hero is the Samaritan because the Samaritan is the only one that was the neighbor. The Samaritan is the only one that loved. The Samaritan was the only one that deployed kindness. Simple working definition for kindness: kindness is love in action. Kindness is love in action. And here he says, there is a superhero, and it's the Samaritan. Now, I grew up loving heroes. Like, I'm a Marvel, DC fan. Back in, like, the comic book days, then there were cartoons, now they're movies. Do I have any fellow Marvel, DC nerds in the house? There are so many more in this service than there were last service. I don't know why that is, Pastor Craig, but it's a fact. Watching online, type in your favorite superhero, right? Now, when I think of, like, superhero, I think of that, even that, the title super, like kindness is a superpower, there's one hero that comes to mind. Superman, right? Superman. And one thing I've always found unique and kind of funny and like peculiar about Superman is he always had on his super suit under his regular clothes, right? And you knew this because whenever there was trouble or somebody was in peril, what would he do? He'd start untying that tie, and then he'd run to a phone booth. Anybody remember phone booths? If you don't know, phone booths is where phones would be in the square box, and they would hook. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, what's that? That's crazy. We have to actually explain that now. But he would run into a phone booth, and then he'd come out. And side note, I always wondered, like, what'd he do with his suit? Like, did he just have to buy new suits every time there was an accident because he just left it in the phone booth? Or did he just hope it was there when he got back? Or did he put it under his super suit? Highly uncomfortable. I don't know. But he would always have that super suit on under his clothing, right? Superman super suit. And it got me thinking, like, I feel like kindness may be one of those things we need to always have on no matter what we're wearing. The Bible actually says this in the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So in other words, in the morning, instead of trying to look nice, maybe we should spend more time trying to be nice. In the morning, instead of spending all this time in the mirror looking at our appearance, maybe we should spend some more time in front of God working on our attitudes. Like, here's just a quick, like, life hack. You want to look good? You want to look nice? Just be nice. People find nice people really attractive. Because we all know people that dress really well and look really good, but are really mean, and you don't want to be around them. Because of their attitude, it doesn't matter how good the shell looks on the outside, they're just unattractive. If you want to be good looking, be a nice person. I guarantee you, you will be attractive. It's just life hack there. And here, God takes it a step further from Colossians. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, your kindness should be known to all. So in other words, God says, before we put our clothes on in the morning, we should put our clothing of kindness on. It should be on under everything we wear. So much so, God says, if we're going to be known by anything, in other words, if I go to your work and ask your coworkers about you, hey, tell me about her. One of the first things they should say if you're a Christ follower is, man, she's just so kind. If I go to your spouse and I'm like, hey, tell me about your husband. If you're a Christ follower, the Bible says one of the first things that should be said about you is, man, he's got a lot of great attributes, but let me tell you, my husband is just so kind. If I ask your parents, young people, tell me about your child. Tell me about your teenager. Tell me about kids. They should say, man, they're full of energy. They're crazy. But I tell you what, God's blessed me with a kind child. The Bible says we should not only be adorned in kindness on the underneath the layers, but we should be known for it. It should be one of the most paramount parts of our reputation. And here in Luke chapter 10, we see three examples, and only one taps into the superpower of kindness, and he ends up saving a person's life. Kindness really is a superpower. But what do we see in the first two characters in this story? I think we see some kryptonite to kindness. Sorry, I told you, DC, Marvel nerd. I'm gonna stick with the Superman theme the whole sermon. So just prepare yourselves. If you're not comic booky, come back next week. Pastor Craig will be preaching. But one of the kindness kryptonites we see in verse 31, it says a priest came along, so happened to be coming along, saw the man and just kept walking, right? He saw the man and kept walking. One of the first kryptonites to kindness I wrote down is avoidance. Is avoidance. When we just avoid the problem. And isn't this something a lot of us do? Like, I know people that do relationships this way. They think, I don't want to get too deep with people, because if I actually get too deep with people, then their problems will start to have to become my problems, and I'm not good with that, so I'm going to keep all my relationships shallow. It's a tragedy. We just avoid it. Out of sight, out of mind. Not my problem. I know none of us have never said that, but you know, at work you hear like that coworker, that's not my problem. That's not my problem. Oh, what a sad way to live. The priest comes along and he's like, whoop, not my problem. And then it says a Levite comes along. Now, a Levite is not a jean salesman. A Levite was like a temple scribe. Sorry, that was the cheesiest church joke ever. I stole that from Rick Warren. I knew it was cheesy, and I was like, I'm just going to try it. And it was. It was cheesy. And so a Levite was like a temple scribe, or think of it like the worship leader. So personify this. Pastor Craig walks by. He's like, no, Pastor Craig would help. And then Nate walks by, and he's like, nope. But the worship leader walks by, and what does it say? I love this one, because this one, we're like, no way. Luke 10:32, in the same way, a Levite also came there, went over and looked at the man, but then walked by on the other side. You catch that detail? The first guy just walks by and kind of glances, and he's like, oh, I'm not getting involved with that. Avoids it. The second guy, the kryptonite to kindness we see here, he sees the guy, walks over. Oh, that's awful. This guy's really beat up. That well. And keeps walking. The first guy avoids it. The second kryptonite we see here is apathy. Everybody say apathy on the count of three. One, two, three, apathy. It means to be curious but not care. It means to want to see the issue but not get involved. See, curiosity cares, but kindness stops. Curiosity cares, but kindness stops. And we read that and we're like, no way, bro. I would never see somebody in peril, in a problem, and just stare at them and then keep moving. I would never do that, right? Never do that. Let me ask you a question. You ever been driving down the highway, see a wreck, and in the South we call it rubbernecking, where everybody starts to slow down, stares at the wreck, and then what do? You keep on driving. That is the modern day equivalent of the Levite. Curiosity cares and stares. Kindness stops. I had this happen to me this week, well, on Monday, helping a little church out in Atlanta with some projects. I was on the phone with their executive team, driving in my little F-150, and I get off of Highway 285 in Atlanta, and there's Lawrenceville Highway, and I'm at like this big stoplight intersection. We get a green light. I hit my gas pedal, and out of my peripheral, I see a delivery van not stopping at the red light, coming full on at like 50 miles per hour. I slam on my brakes, but the little Nissan Altima to my right didn't see it, pulled out, and got completely T-boned on Monday. And I'm gonna confess to you again. This is just like therapy to me. This is great. In that moment, I saw her car get spun around. He slams on his brakes. And I thought, oh man, that was almost me. And I start to take my foot off the brake and keep heading to the church. Because that's what we do every day on the highway. That's what we do. And I'm not kidding. Literally, I just started studying this passage and it was like the Holy Spirit went, like, are you kidding me, Corey? And I just slammed on the brakes in the middle of the intersection, threw my truck in park, ran out, and I was like, are you okay? Are you okay? I called 911. We pulled her out of the car, this sweet little lady that was a nurse, and she was all shaken up, and I sat with her until the EMTs got there and the police got there, and I thought, and I was on the phone with the executive team, and I said, I gotta go. There was a wreck. And I was late for a meeting. I was late for everything we're supposed to be doing. But my point is, like, it's so easy to keep moving. It's so easy to go, it's not my problem, and not get involved. Curiosity cares, but kindness stops. A lot of people like to study the steps of Jesus. I love to study the stops of Jesus. Because most of his miracles happened when he was interrupted. One of the biggest kryptonites to kindness is hurry. Hurry is a killer of kindness. I'd love to help you, but I got a meeting. Oh, I got to get to my son's baseball game. I'd love to help. Oh, we got to get to practice. Or we would totally help. We do this all the time. I'm in a hurry. I can't do it. Kindness stops. Some of y'all are like, dude, you're usually funnier than this. Can we lighten this up? Like, it's okay. But this is so good, because those are the kryptonites. But then we get to the hero, the Samaritan, the superhero Samaritan. And he deploys the power, the superpower of kindness. And I just wrote it down. We'll cover it real quick. Well, we don't have a service after this, so we can go as long as we want, right? I'm just kidding. Half of you were like, yeah. The other half were like, I'm hungry. And zeal, they're like, same thing, split down the middle. Some of them are like, let's go out on the boat. Other are like, keep preaching. Superpower number one that we see here, it says in verse 33, when the Samaritan and when he saw him. On the count of three, everybody say, see. One, two, three. See. Kindness gives you the superpower of X-ray vision. It enables you to see what you would normally not see. It reminds me of Superman. By the way, please don't make fun of my super extra glasses. These were the only non-prescription ones I could find in a hurry. I was going to borrow Pastor Travis's, but he has prescription. And if I put on prescription glasses, I get a headache immediately. So here we go. So Superman... don't laugh. She was like, really? You see the gold? No. Superman had X-ray vision. But in order to deploy his X-ray vision, what would he always do? Right? He would always remove the lenses so he could see what was really there. For kindness to give you X-ray vision, you have to stop and ask, what lens do I need to remove? Hey guys, I'm just gonna go in on this one. I don't have much time left, but I didn't do it in the first service. But I would ask, like, here, this guy had to remove so many lenses. I'm a Samaritan. What if that's a Jew? What if he hates me? What if I'm helping someone who's gonna hurt me when he gets better? He had to remove social and racial prejudice in order to deploy kindness. Will that not preach today? Thank you, three of you, yes. He had to go, no. Like, it says the guy was stripped and beaten half dead. Back in the first century, the only way you could tell who someone was is by their accent. You would hear the language they speak or their accent, and you'd go, okay, they're from this region, da da da. Or by the way they dress. You could tell how wealthy someone was or where they're from by the way they dress. The guy was knocked out and naked. In other words, he had to remove the lens of payback. Well, if I help him, maybe he's rich and he'll help me back. There was no way to know if this guy could pay him back for his generosity. You have to remove these lenses. There's so many lenses we look at through life. I mean, like the lens of nostalgia, right? Oh man, the world wasn't like this back in the day. Man, I just wish the church could go back to the book of Acts. I wish the church could get back to its roots. No, you don't. Acts chapter 2, the church was racist. They wouldn't preach to Gentiles. God had to break them of that. The church is maturing and growing. Nostalgia can be a lens that we look at and go, oh, I just wish things were the way they were. No, you don't. We're called to be people of faith. We're called to be people of hope. We're called to be people that are moving the ball forward for the church, the world, our neighborhood, our cities, and our family. We got to remove these lenses and deploy that X-ray vision of kindness. That was only the first one. All right. Superpower number two we see here. It says, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Everybody say compassion on the count of three. One, two, three. Compassion. Oh. Compassion means co-passion. It means sympathy. It means empathy. It means I put myself in your shoes. I wonder what your story is. If I were you, how would I want somebody to treat me? Compassion. I wrote it like this in my notes. It gives you the superpower. Kindness gives you the superpower of superhearing. You can actually stop when you see someone in pain and then listen to their story. Listening is a superpower. And I, as a pastor and preacher, I've had the privilege of walking a lot of people through a lot of pain, specifically funerals. And one thing I've learned is the ministry of silence. The deeper the pain, the fewer the words that are needed. People just need you to show up and shut up sometimes. Just be there and listen. I'm newly married. My wife and I just had our 2-year anniversary. Yay, we made it. And we're going for three. And I remember our first year of marriage. This is so cliche, but I remember my first year of marriage. My wife came home after like 6 months from her job, and she starts telling me about her job and all these problems and issues. And I'm naturally a fixer. I'm naturally solution-oriented. Tell me a problem, I'll help you find a solution. Tell me an issue, we'll fix it, right? That's just the way my mind works. Many of us, men and women, you can relate to that. So my wife starts telling me problems that she's having throughout her day, and I'm like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. Maybe you should try and say this, or maybe you should have reacted this way. And she just said, will you just listen? Some of you are laughing, because you're like, no, we've never had that fight. She said, will you just listen to me? And in my mind, I was like, so you just want me to listen to your problems and not fix them? What's the point of that? I later learned she didn't need me to fix them. She needed empathy. She needed compassion. She needed me to put myself in her shoes for a moment and feel like she was not alone. Kindness gives you the superpower of superhearing. And then all of a sudden when someone's firing off of you, oh man, this is happening and you're a jerk and I hate when you do this and all this, instead of going, what is wrong with you? Kindness helps you change the question. What happened to you? Not what's wrong with you. What happened to you? Like another way to think about it is kindness makes you bulletproof. Kindness, the superpower of kindness, makes us bulletproof. Because then when somebody's firing those metaphorical bullets of anger at us, man, you're this and you're that, and if you wouldn't have done this, and I can't believe you, and you're that, and they start making you the object of their wrath and their issue. I know that never happens here. We're all good Christians, but for the people you know. When they start doing that, and you imagine instead of responding in kind and firing back, what if you deployed the superpower of kindness and said, I'm so sorry. And I'm so sad for how you're feeling. I'm so sad for how you're hurting. And if I had any part in hurting you, man, I want to make it up to you. I am sorry. How can I help? Could you imagine if somebody responded to you like that when you were angry? Not only does it make me bulletproof, all those insults just fly by, it disarms the other person. You see how kindness is a superpower here? Kindness gives you x-ray vision to see people who they really are. Kindness gives you super hearing to listen to people's stories. Ask the right questions. Kindness makes you bulletproof. And here in the passage, we see the super Samaritan hero. Kindness gives you healing powers. Because what did he do? It said he saw him. He had compassion on him. He picked him up and bandaged his wounds. Kindness heals the people around you. But kindness doesn't just heal the people around you. This is so good. Proverbs 11:17 says this. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind. When you're kind to other people, it doesn't just heal them, it heals you. It's like a superpower that regenerates. You're having a bad day? Go be kind to somebody. Just got laid off, things aren't going your way? Go be kind to somebody. Watch what it does to our souls and our attitudes. Just to wrap it up, Luke chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus looks back at the lawyer and he says, which of these three people would you say was a true neighbor to the one who attacked, the one who was attacked? And the man replied, the one who showed him kindness. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. And I think about this story, because this was a story Jesus was telling, and Dr. Luke wrote it down. And then this parchment was copied, and in the coming months and years, it was spread around the region, a region that included Samaritans. And I just imagine, like, what if you were that little 8-year-old Samaritan boy, and you walked up one day, and somebody was reading this story from Jesus, and he said, a priest went by, didn't help. A Levi went by, didn't help. Side note there, you know what that tells us? Just because you're religious doesn't mean you're kind. Just because we go to church doesn't make us nice people. Church doesn't make us kind. Christ makes us kind. Some of the meanest people I know
go to church.
You're like, no way. Yeah, check out social media comments. Religion doesn't make you kind. Following Jesus, being like Christ, makes us kind. And I think about this little Samaritan boy. And somebody reads a story, and he's like, wait. The Jews that think they're better than us, they weren't the hero. And then he hears, but a Samaritan helped the man. The Samaritan was the hero. Imagine being that little boy. You're like, I don't have to be the villain. I don't have to be the side character. I can be the hero. Even in Jesus' story, he was showing kindness to an entire race of people. Modern day equivalent, like, I just say it, I said it in the first service, like, for decades in American and worldwide movies, African American people and black people have played the villain or the side character. And then all of a sudden, Marvel had a character called the Black Panther. And for the first time, the main character, hero, superhero, look like many of you in here today. And man, pastoring a church in Jamaica, I can't tell you what that does for the students and the young people down there. I can be the hero. That just Jesus in all parts of this story embodies kindness to hurting people. So good. But here's where I'll wrap it up. It says the point of this whole story was launched from one question from the lawyer. And what was the question? Many of us think, who is my neighbor? But that wasn't his original question. His original question is, what do I have to do to get eternal life? What do I have to do to get that, Jesus? And this was Jesus's answer. Well, think about it. The hero of the story was somebody nobody expected, Samaritan. And what did he do? He found a man basically dead, could do nothing for himself. And he picked him up and he healed him. And then he put him on his animal and he transported him to where he could never get to on his own. And then he put him in a safe place. And then he paid his debt. And then the hero said, don't worry, I'm coming back. What does Jesus do for us? Jesus finds us dead in our sin and our trespasses. Jesus picks us up in his own merit. It's nothing that we do. He heals us through the blood on the cross and the resurrection from the grave. Then he transports us to righteousness and salvation, a place we could never get to on our own. Then he pays our debt and he looks at us and says, "Don't you worry, I'm coming back for you." The Good Samaritan was about Jesus all along. You want to know what kindness looks like? He says it right here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. God saved you through faith as an act of kindness. And then Jesus looks at us like he looked at the Lord and he said, "You go. Today in Holland, tomorrow, there in Kingston, around the island of Jamaica, the Caribbean, around the world, wherever you're watching, you go. And be like the Samaritan. Be like Jesus." But it starts clothing ourselves. Before we put anything else on, we must first put on kindness like Superman. It's got to be under no matter what we, yeah, right? I made this in the hotel room last night. Thanks, Mayor. A little iron. But you know why we can be kind? Because there's something underneath the kindness. There's a reason. Some of you are like, "How far is he going to go?" Don't worry, this is the last layer. Like Superman, there's something underneath. And if you're a DC fan, here's where I land it. Like if you're a superhero fan, many of us think the S on Superman's chest stands for super, but it doesn't. It's actually his family crest from the House of El in Kryptonian. I'm a nerd. But this isn't an S. It's actually the Kryptonian symbol for hope. The reason we can be kind is because we have hope. We have a hope, like Romans 5 says, that doesn't disappoint. We have a hope in a Savior that didn't stay in the grave. We have a hope in a Savior that rose from the grave. We have a hope in a Savior that paid our debt. We have a hope in a Savior that's coming back to us. We have a hope in a God that is kind to us. So we can wear kindness. We can be kindness. We can stop and love people in kindness. And it's with that in mind. It's with that in mind that we go out today. It's in that in mind that we pray today. It's in that in mind, with that in mind, that we worship today. Church, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you were first kind to us when we were dead in our sin and our trespasses and can do nothing for ourselves, like the man on the side of the road. You stopped. You picked us up. You set us right. You healed us. You paid for us. God, thank you for that. Thank you that we have hope in you, so we can be kind. And right now, for all of us there at Zeal, watching here at Central, everyone online, God, as we're listening to this, we're going, "God, it's so hard to be kind. I can't, how am I supposed to be kind to them?" And God, I just thank you that when we feel that, you remind us that you are for us. You remind us that you are with us. You remind us that your favor is on us. And so, God, as we close out our time together today and we sing this out, we receive your favor. We receive your blessing. We receive your presence. And God, we say amen. We say we agree. We say thank you to that truth. In your name we pray and worship.